Last week, we thought about the process of attracting abundance. And you may remember that abundance doesn't subscribe to that zero-sum game. And that's where if one side enjoys a gain, the other side must suffer a loss. The universe has nothing to do with that at all. So the divine simply doesn't work that way. Remember the word limitless when we think about abundance and when describing the universe. We all breathe the same air, we live under the same sky, and we enjoy the same sun. Is it less possible for you to breathe because I breathe? Because I feel the warmth of the sun on my skin, will you feel cooler? No. This week, let's take a look at how we might share that abundance that we know we could attract from last week. It's always and already ours. Sharing is a really lovely concept. Give what you can and take what you need. It has to have both sides because you can't share with somebody who won't take, right? And so we have to sometimes play the role of the giver and sometimes the role of the receiver. And that's good. It sounds simple enough. So why would we hesitate to share? Well, many of you, imagine maybe all of you, receive requests for support, right? From organizations. How about in your email inbox from political organizations or candidates a few months ago? Or educational institutions, or social issues, and the list goes on and on. There's always someone who's ready and willing and able to ask for your support, either financially or with your skills, knowledge, ability, time. There are so many demands on our abundance that we have attracted that sometimes we simply shut down. How many of you have asked to unsubscribe from those various places that you've received email upon email upon email? Me too. And I do think very carefully about it before I choose to do that, because I can imagine what it would be to be on the other end of asking and feeling a real need to make that social issue something that is important to others. But I do say no sometimes. How can we know that what and where and when and how much to share? If we decide to share anything, how do we know what is the right thing to do? Attracting abundance is one thing. Sharing it is quite another. Maybe the sharing thing isn't as easy as I thought it might be. My former church in Troy has a program that's called Baby Basics, where mothers of infants and toddlers, do any of you know about Baby Basics? It's a cool program. It's where mothers of infants and toddlers can receive disposable diapers. Because if they have to use food stamps don't cover the cost of disposable diapers. And so if you can't afford to purchase diapers for your baby and you can't change their diapers as often as they should be changed, two things can happen. First of all, there can be some serious health problems for the baby and a lot of pain, and there's serious stress for the parents. Now, would that be an easy thing to donate to? Nobody wants a baby to be in pain, and nobody wants parents of young children to be in stress. It doesn't do anyone any good. So it's pretty easy to say yes to that. Well, on top of that, sometimes it's easy to see why sharing your abundance makes sense, but we also have to ask questions about how many times can we say yes? So here are some questions that I would suggest you consider if you're having difficulty figuring out how and when and where and how much will you share your abundance. And remember, when I talk about abundance, for the most part, I am not only talking about money. I'm also talking about your time, your talents, anything that you have to offer to someone else, and that includes your love. So the first question I ask myself is, how will my gift help? If I give whatever I'm being asked to give, how will it help? I need to understand, what am I about in this exchange? Will my gift be so small that it won't matter? Sometimes that happens. Or will my big gift be so large that no one else needs to help? That's not very good either. The second question I ask myself is, am I aligned with Source in this decision? Am I coming from a place of love when I'm making this decision? Does it feel right? Do I feel the joy at the idea of making this happen and sharing? So am I aligned with Source? Third, what will you give up to see a promised outcome realized? So what do I mean by that? Well, how important is this outcome to you? Whatever you're promised, if you give, the outcome will be, is it really important to you? We each have issues that resonate with us. Maybe it's the environment, or children, or hunger, or disease, to name a few. Or it might be a political issue. It might be bringing something to the fellowship that you want everybody to be able to share, like Sister Giant. Literally, what amount of energy are you willing to expend to achieve the goal that you believe in and believe can be realized? This can be the place where the divine asks much of us, and where we either step up or we step back. We make a decision based on this question. Once we decide, will I or won't I share, the next question you might ask is, can I make this gift a reality? In other words, you might want to give, but what if you don't feel like you have enough? Is the gift within the scope of my power, or would I do well to turn to divine assistance? Sometimes we make what I think of as a stretch commitment. And that means that we don't know how we will make it happen. We step into a position of saying, yes, I'll help. We have no idea how that is going to work. Has anybody ever done that? Yes, I see nods. Good. And it turned out okay, right? Have you ever taken the step and it hasn't turned out okay? That can happen too. So what I would suggest is that in the midst of making a stretch commitment, you just understand that you're standing out there and the universe will hold you up, will provide what you need if this is something that is to be accomplished. It's a challenge sometimes to trust, but if you do, literally whatever amount of energy you are willing to expend to achieve the goal and believe that you believe in, you will have the energy to do it. So there are a number of things that you have to do in making this stretch commitment or any kind of a commitment to make the gift that you are going to make a reality. Because we all believe things are possible in this limitless universe, you can take that first step. And when you can't do it alone, when you feel you really can't do it alone, find a group of other like-minded people who can align with you and have their values align with your values. Can you, along with those others, share in making the outcome your desired reality? That's a bit about what goes on here every week when you come together. You are here for a reason. You didn't just show up because you saw that tiny little sign out in front of the door from the street. You are here because you have made a commitment to be in this fellowship and be a part of what this fellowship stands for. The fifth thing is, the question you ask is, what will happen if I don't share? Now, why would you ask that? Well, you don't really get to that question unless you've already thought maybe you wouldn't. If you haven't made up your mind yet, you will ask yourself, what will happen if I don't share my abundance in this case? This question really calls us to search our souls for our responsibility in sharing our abundance, because we do have a responsibility to share. What lost opportunity might we experience if we don't take advantage of the opportunity to share our gifts? After all, where does all that we have come from? Is it really ours? This question reminds me of a short song, and the lyrics are, "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, all that we ask, all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." In other words, everything we have is a gift from Source, love or God or the divine, you choose the name. We didn't create this abundance. It's been given to us. Never think that your own hard work created that bank account that you are so proud of. Others have worked much harder than you, with nothing to show. Does the universe love you more than someone who has less? No. Now, are we coming closer to a concept about share? Now we're coming to a concept that is closer to the idea about sharing that intrigues me. What if we're simply stewards of the abundance of this universe? Well, a steward is responsible for taking care of another's property. And that means that all that we have doesn't belong to us. We are taking care of it. And good stewards make sure that they never spend everything. Because if you spend everything, whether it's your energy or your money, you have nothing left to give again. You have nothing left to keep you going. And so in order to be a good steward, you have to be careful about what you promise to do. So when we talk about unlimited abundance in the universe, and we talk about the abundance that we attract, we have to keep in mind that the universe has in store exactly what we're supposed to have and what we're supposed to share. So we have to be wise and good stewards in the amount that we are willing to give for any particular thing. So when we think of abundance, the abundance we enjoy, it's important to remember that even something as personal as our love is a gift from spirit. What if the divine wants us to have everything we need and to share all of the excess? Some types of sharing are so natural that most of us don't really even think about it. We certainly would never ask the questions that I've just posed. Feeding, housing, and clothing our families. Do you get up in the morning and think, well, should I feed the children today or not? Well, no. Or maybe you might think, well, do they really need to have their clothes washed? Couldn't they just put them on and wear them dirty all the time? No, you don't do that. That's not how we function as human beings. That's not considered sharing in our conscious mind, but we actually are sharing. Every time we do something for our family, we make choices. It'd be impossible for me not to love my child or my grandchildren. These are instances where our culture and natural instincts are programming us to share. We share love, we share time, we share energy, we share money, and in some cases, we share all that we have. What about sharing your abundance beyond the familiar, though? People who don't look like you or act like you or think like you, agree with you. Not family or friends. The first question you will answer about this is, will I help or not? You might not be able to answer that question easily, so you dip your toes in a bit further and you ask another question. It's not, will I help? It's, how could I help? Do I have the resources to help? Do I have the knowledge, the skills, or the ability to help with what's needed? Because we don't always have what it takes when someone asks for us to help them. Someone else may be responsible for that. You're not responsible every time you're asked. If you're still having difficulty deciding to help, you might ask yourself, does helping in this case align with my values? You may have to decide, is this something you want to do? And if it is, what will you give? Will you give your time? Or will you give your talent and time? Or will you give money and hope someone else has the time and talent and can be paid for it? How long will you help? What kind of a commitment are you making? Is this a one-time only? Or is this a long-term commitment that you're making? What will happen if I don't share my abundance is another question that you ask. Your decisions really have a far-reaching effect. You know that ripple effect that happens with everything that we do, every move that we make, everything that we choose to share has an effect. And you may never know what difference your gift makes when you make it. Or what, if any, loss will occur if you don't make it. That's the mystery of sharing your abundance. There really is no way to measure what your gift will do. The ripple effect is in full force when we step in to help, or sometimes when we don't. This is where your relationship with the divine plays a role. Do you remember last week when I said I used to work like it all depended on me and pray like it all depended on God? Well, that pretty much is my attitude toward giving. Although I have changed the names I use, I refer to source or spirit or wisdom or the divine rather than God because I'm more comfortable with those words now. But I trust that there is something I can't see and I don't understand completely that is available to support each one of us as we gather to do good. We are part of a grander plan than we will ever understand. Now, I will admit that there are times when I have probably been foolhardy, according to safety experts, when it comes to helping. Years ago, there was a terrible thunderstorm. This was before I moved back to Troy, and I lived in Lansing. And I was just driving onto 496. I was a single mom at that point, and I saw someone who was having car trouble in this terrible storm, and I stopped and got out and offered to help. And we got him where he needed to go and get the help that he needed. And when I got back in the car and went home, I thought about what I had done. That was probably foolish. I had no idea who this person was, but that person needed help, and my alignment said, get out of the car and help. And so that's what I have done off and on. However, once I remarried, my husband said, don't ever do that again. Sometimes I listen to him and sometimes I don't. So it's the experience of doing good that helps me illustrate my own understanding that money and talent and time are all good things to share, and that money is nothing more than a simple exchange of energy. If I don't cook and deliver that meal that someone needs, maybe someone else will do that and no one will suffer. Or maybe there won't be anyone else at this particular moment in time, and what effect might result either way. In assessing what you might get out of sharing, the answer is you never really know. I'll give you an example. I learned of a member from my church in Troy who received a kidney cancer diagnosis. Chemo treatments were required to try to stem the disease, and someone thought it would be really helpful if we could deliver a meal to their home each time there was a chemo treatment. So on chemo days, we would deliver a meal. And a sign-up sheet was put online, and we chose what day we would volunteer to cook and deliver a meal. I didn't know the couple well at all, although we had been at church together for 20 years. But I saw an opportunity to help. And this aligned with my values and what I believe is my responsibility for taking up space and resources in this world. I could cook a meal and I could deliver it. I was capable of both of those things. So I signed up. And on the appointed day, I prepared the meal and drove out into the country. And 45 minutes later, I arrived. And I left the food in a cooler with reheating directions. And I expected nothing in return. I'd shared my abundance with them because I felt like it was something I could do to help them in a difficult time. Because I hadn't expected anything, I was pleasantly surprised when 4 months later, Judy, the patient's wife, drew me aside at church to thank me and return the cooler, which I hadn't really expected. She told me how much it meant to arrive home after that first day of chemo to find a meal that matched all of their requirements, vegetarian, gluten, and dairy-free. Yes, I'd chosen the meal menu very carefully, but I hadn't noticed it was the first day on the meal calendar. I had simply chosen a day that was convenient for me. But for her, it meant the world. What resulted is a long-standing friendship. Judy's husband did not survive, and I was able to support her along the way. I helped her pack up her household when she was moving from Lake Orion to Virginia to live closer to her daughter. We visited back and forth and phoned. And a year later, I went to Virginia to help her pack up again and move back to Michigan. I never signed up for all of that. I signed up to cook a meal. We never know where our sharing of abundance will lead. Lest you think sharing abundance is a one-way street, let me finish the story. You see, this woman is a psychologist, and 3 years later, she was the person who asked me the most important question anyone has ever asked me about my own self-worth and how it radiates and how it reflects my own ability to attract abundance. It is the question that I asked each of you last week. She asked me to ask myself, are you worth it? And if not, why not? Had I not cooked that meal and delivered it, I might never have gotten to know Judy. I might never have asked that all-important question, and more importantly, I might not have answered it. I might not be standing here today with you to talk about attracting abundance, and you never know where the ripple effect of sharing your abundance, large or small, will lead. You will not always know how your abundance will help someone else, how far-reaching it might end up being. But rest assured, the divine knows. We are all divinely in the right place at the right time through all time and space. Sharing our abundance can assist in that process. Now let's think about where are we supposed to share. And here is a very important answer to that question of where are we supposed to share. There's no rule. There is no answer. You share where you're asked. Sharing falls into a category of being very personal. Some people are taught very early in their lives to share. You know, as a mom or a dad, when two children are playing together, you share. Be nice, share. You start very early. But others have been taught from an early age to protect what is theirs, to hold it tight and close to them. Still others have been taught that charity begins at home, and they never share anything with anyone except their family members, where they can be very generous. The very personal part of sharing your abundance means that you get to choose what feels best to you. Once you begin to share, you may find that it feels so good that you're making someone else happy or helping a person survive or increasing someone's opportunity to be more or to assist in making something beautiful happen in the world that you begin to look for creative ways to share your abundance. Shortly after the beginning of the year, I arrived at my AquaFit class at the Y every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I noticed a baby carrier by the edge of the pool. That was a little unusual. It was a tiny infant, 10 days old. Our instructor and her husband have two biological children and one foster daughter, who's 3 years old. Now they have two foster children with the hope of maybe adopting both little girls, who it ends up are actually half-sisters. If the mother rescinds her rights, they will adopt both their foster daughter that they had, who's 3 years old, and this newborn. This couple has an abundance of love in their family, and they are effective and thoughtful parents. They're willing to share that with these two foster children, of course, and their own children as well. And they're teaching their two boys about sharing an unlimited abundance of love. I met a woman who volunteers very recently, in fact, yesterday, with CASA. Is anyone familiar with CASA? Did I hear a yes? No? Yes? Yes. Okay. CASA provides highly trained volunteers to advocate within the court system and the community for the best interest of children who are under court jurisdiction for abuse and neglect. Talk about kids who need attention. CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. She's sharing her abundance of experience in child advocacy and judicial work and with her love for children. When she talks about working with those families and her eyes begin to shine with excitement, you know that she is thriving through the help that she's offering. Then there are musicians, like the ones we heard today, who love to share their music with anyone who will listen, and both the listener and the musician are enriched. Then there's my friend who's working to save her home from bankruptcy. I told you about her last week. She volunteers at an elderly care facility, bringing her love of nature and all things organic to seniors who love to see her come because she brings her joy along with her wonderful hands-on projects for them. In the midst of her own scarcity of financial abundance, she shares what she does have abundantly, and that's her love and compassion. Each time I watch a PBS show, I'm grateful to the very wealthy whose names appear before the program begins, with thanks for their financial contributions. And I'm reminded that my teeny tiny little contribution to PBS fits into the "and viewers like you" category. My little bit can't make a difference at all. But with everyone else's little bit, and then the big bits, excellent programming is available. In what ways do you share your abundance? Have you ever worked to raise awareness for something that is important to you, really important to you? It's so easy to ask. Do you drop something into the Salvation Army kettle during the holidays? Have you purchased Girl Scout cookies? I think they're on sale right now. Have you helped a neighbor in need or simply called to be sure someone is okay? Do you provide transportation for someone in need? Or do you have a special skill or ability that you can share with others? There are so many ways to share your abundance, and there really are no rules as to what amount you do give. If you don't know what to do, I suggest you check in with the divine, or what I call your wisdom. Sit quietly, breathing, and asking, how can I share my abundance? In what way am I being called to give? My first memory of giving was right after my 5th birthday. At Sunday school, we had a little globe, and I do mean little, it could fit in my adult palm, not in my child palm. And it was a bank, and it had a little slot just big enough for coins in it. And as someone's birthday came along, every child was invited to, boy or girl, to put in the number of pennies for their age, to match their age. So I was 5, and I distinctly remember exactly where this bank was, what room we were in church, where the bank was, where it was sitting, and walking up and putting my 5 pennies in that bank and feeling so extraordinarily grown up. 5. I was 5, after all. I'd watched all of the other children do the same thing on their birthdays, as their birthdays had come along. And each time we were told that the money was going to help a Korean War orphan. So this was in the 50s. I'm old. And we'd been told about Ro Tai Chin. Notice I remember this child's name. That was 64 years ago. And as I look back, I realize what a gift it was to be taught to share abundance at such a young age. Even more amazing was the fact that we continued as children to support Ro Tai Chin all the way through high school. We even received letters from him when I was in junior high and high school telling us how the money had helped him either buy books or have a new sweater or shoes. The results of our gifts were made concrete and real in the thank you letters we received over the years. So we as children learned that what little we gave really did have some effect for someone in another country. I credit that early act of the birthday giving and the weekly act of my putting my dime into an envelope that I put into the offering basket at church as helping form my understanding of sharing as being a very good thing. Why am I talking about this today? Because I can, and because I believe that money is like love. What do I mean by that? Well, there's that child's song called The Magic Penny. Anybody familiar with it? Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. It's just like a magic penny. Hold it tight and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, and you'll have so many, they'll roll all over the floor. For love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. So the money we share, if shared from a place of love, will only increase the balance in your life, if not your checkbook. Sharing your time is something that will enrich your own life. And sharing your gifts and talents will simply allow you more room to grow. Sharing your love will enrich your existence in ways you can't even begin to imagine. The next time you're invited to share your abundant gifts, think about what is possible, remembering that it's quite likely you will be the one enriched through the giving. And so it is.